How's things going, Kevin?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Another week of Culture Clash, man. It's funny how stuff starts to drop right like the day of we record stuff.
Yeah, maybe we need to change our recording day, but nah, it's more fun this way. But I do have a question for you, Kevin.
What's that?
If an award show happens but nobody knows about it, did it really happen?
I don't think so. Yeah. Do people care about that still, I guess?
I'm starting to wonder.
Don't normally we do like, you know, hey, so-and-so award show's coming up. Let's give some pre-talk about that and some expectations. Underneath the radar, would you say?
Yeah, and considering this is a pretty major award show that we're going to talk about here in a little bit, but I'm sorry, Kevin. My eyes are focused on one thing and one thing only.
And what's that?
That would be the beautiful Brie Larson.
Ah, yes. A little Captain Marvel action we're going to be talking about shortly here. Hey.
Oh, so good. I want it now. No, but what I did notice was no mullet for Coulson.
A little disappointed about that. Didn't see a fanny pack. Of course, we didn't see how low, but yeah, I really wanted to see a little more 90s version of Colt. You know, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can support the mullet for him when you know. I know you got a fanny pack or two floating around in the man cave.
Yes.
Well, before we fall into any more blockbuster videos or fill up any more fanny packs, Kevin, we got a lot of things to talk about, so I'm just going to say it. Strap on that fanny pack and let's do this thing.
This is the Culture Clash.
Culture Clash 102. And again, it's Culture Clash, which of course that means we're your home for fandom news, reviews, and whatever crazy things Kevin Reitzel can find for you.
Dude, we're in the hundreds. It's cool, isn't it?
I'm feeling old. Where's my cane? Where's my cane? You young whippersnapper podcasters out there.
I know, right? 102. That's awesome, though, man.
Is that in dog years?
No. Yeah, we're getting old.
Yeah. Wait. 1 year, 100 episodes of podcasting equals like 50. A podcast equals like 50 human years, right?
Is that feels like works? Yeah. Kind of feels like it's been a while, man. A lot of I wonder how many podcasting hours you and I have done.
I don't want to think about it. I'll just cry. But no, we do love bringing the Culture Clash and doing the podcast for all you wonderful people out there. Don't let our lack of enthusiasm today, because we burned it all up watching the Captain Marvel trailer over in a continuous loop for the last 6 hours. But, you know, that's just how we roll around here at the Fandom Podcast Network. But let's tell you where you can find not only Culture Clash, but all the great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. And it all starts with our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com, where you can find our master feed. And, of course, if you're using your mobile device, use the Podbean app. Just look up Fandom Podcast Network on the Podbean app, and you're going to find all those great shows there. And you can also use iTunes, Stitcher, and, of course, you Android users out there, Google Play. Of course, visit our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Let us know how we're doing. We'd love to have some input. And of course, you can follow us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network, on Twitter at FanPod Network. Of course, you can follow me, Kyle, on Twitter at AKyleW, or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. And Kevin, where can people find you on social media, even while you're busy watching Carol Danvers over there?
Carol Danvers.
AKA Captain Marvel.
Yes, that's right. I almost forgot her name. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And let's talk about wearing the proper gear while you listen to your favorite Fandom Podcast Network podcast. Of course, that means visiting our TeePublic store at teepublic.com. Just search the Fandom Podcast Network. You can find shirts, iPhone cases, pillows, Kevin's favorite, tapestries, even some mugs. Drink your proper drink out of a good
mug.
You know, Culture Clash mug, Tide 40 mug, something like that. Got a little distracted. Kevin, I'm going to throw a little brief end zone news flash because I just got a flash on my phone.
Uh-oh.
You know how we've been hyping Fitzmagic for the last couple of years?
Yes.
Or a couple of weeks?
Oh, has he been officially announced?
Well, Jameis Winston just got sued by the Uber driver.
Oh, geez. Yep. That means Fitz is keeping his job.
So, okay. We apologize for us going to football on Culture
Clash. We crossed the streams there.
Yeah. We might.
We just recorded End Zone. Should we go back and record a little spot saying if you want to hear an updated news, watch Culture Clash?
Go away, Kevin.
Or listen to Culture Clash.
And on that, there are all of our 5-star iTunes reviews. But even if you do, even if you want to give us those 1-star reviews after that, go to iTunes. We love to have the feedback, positive or negative. We'll read it on the air. It helps us make and create a better podcast for you guys, and we really do appreciate it. But, you know, even though we had breaking NFL news, Kevin, I'm feeling it in the air. It's the special Captain Marvel edition. Are you ready?
Let's news!
What I secretly don't know is that Kevin is actually a Skrull, but...
That was my Captain Marvel Let's News. Didn't like that? No?
No, what I was just going to say is at least you didn't say Shazam because that would have been really bad. So, yes, the big thing of the day, and it was all over social media, was the absolutely mind-blowing Captain Marvel trailer. Kevin, I am psyched. This movie looks incredible.
It does. It looks a lot of fun. I'm not familiar with the character like you are. So we got a little bit more. We got to see Samuel Jackson's character do a little voice over there, have him look younger, of course, and have both eyes. But what was your take on the footage, the new footage, and seeing? Obviously, we saw pictures first, and you loved the way that she looked in her costume. What did you think of the rest of it? I'm asking for the critique of someone who knows their comics and their characters.
Yeah, no, I thought it was spot on. You had the classic looking Kree uniforms. You had the Captain Marvel suit. Loved the de-aging on Sam Jackson and Phil Coulson. I thought that looked really sharp. I'm very excited about this. The space effects look really good. And come on, you had Captain Marvel beating up supposedly a senior citizen in the
trailer. A senior citizen was pretending to be a senior citizen, I think.
Yes, exactly. Here's the thing. Captain Marvel is going to be the face of the MCU going forward after this film. She will probably take the place that Chris Evans' Captain America has currently in the MCU as kind of the leader figure of the Avengers. I'm fine with this. I'm good with this. I am very excited about this because this is a very strong character, whether it's male or female. But I think Brie Larson is going to nail this role. And I think that we are just in store for a great, fun film with all these great 90s references. And I think this is really going to kick off what the MCU is going to be looking like after Avengers 4 comes out. And I'm really excited about that.
Question for you. So in the trailer, it looked like we were seeing maybe a scene of her getting her powers. There was something going on with her head and stuff like that. I don't know if I was misinterpreting that from a casual viewer's standpoint. What was your take on that part, that little tease on the trailer?
The impression I'm getting from the trailer is that she was, because it looks like they're going a little different from the actual comic origin, but she did have a military background, hence the captain. But it looks like maybe she gets kidnapped by the Kree, given powers by the Kree, maybe led to even believe she is a Kree, or at least in part a Kree. And then when she comes back to Earth, she doesn't know that. And then being back on Earth spawns all these memories she has.
She starts out as a human, right?
Yes.
She's a
fighter pilot,
a naval aviator, as as Maverick would say. and then what happens again? How does she turn into this superhero? Remind
something
us.
Something happens with the Kree. They haven't revealed what yet. And how does she get
to Earth to the Kree? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, they haven't revealed that yet.
How did they do that in the comics?
In the comics, it was actually a Kree hero, the original Captain Mar-Vell, who came to Earth, and she got exposed to something him, and that created her as what was originally Miss Marvel, and then she eventually became Captain Marvel.
So, question for you then: how do you think I want your speculation here because I love this. How do you think that her character is going to end in the movie? Where at the end of Avengers Infinity War, you got right before he fades away into dust, Samuel Jackson does a little 90s pagers thing. So where do you think that her character is going to end up at the end of the movie?
I think the movie starts with her answering the page.
Really?
And then the movie goes into a flashback, and then the end of the movie, it's her arriving to Earth.
That would be cool.
Gets there, that would be, because I think you have to have her established and not waiting for that first appearance in Avengers 4.
So are we under the assumption then that the only person in the Marvel Universe right now is Nick Fury is the only one that knows about her?
Phil Coulson,
okay. Well, cool, I'm excited. I it looks good. It looks a lot of fun in it.
I'm going to just throw this out there for a lot of people to consider. The villain in the villains in this film, particularly Ben Mendelsohn's character, but they're an alien race of shapeshifters called the Skrulls. Let me put it this way. I don't think after Captain Marvel we're going to be done with the Skrulls by a long shot.
I didn't get that reference earlier, by the way. The Skrulls.
You didn't get? Yeah. No. They're the arch nemesis of the Kree. Which is the alien race that created Captain Marvel. There's a big story in the Marvel Universe where it turned out the Skrulls had replaced several key Marvel heroes.
Okay.
And heroes in the comics people thought were dead or whatever. And they called it the Secret Invasion. We could be leading to that as the next big Marvel storyline.
Big threat other than, Thanos?
Yeah. Exactly. After Thanos is taken care of, it could be some Skrull infiltration that we're talking about. So that could be very interesting. But I'm excited. I cannot wait for this movie because when this kicks off, let's think about this real quick, Kevin. Captain Marvel's due out in March. Sometime end of April, we're going to have Avengers Infinity War. Then in July is Spider-Man Far From Home. There's going to be a lot of Marvel good, and yet everybody's going to be psyched to see all three of these films.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So, well, you remember how we were talking at the beginning of the show, if there's an award show happens, but nobody knows about it, does it really happen? Did you know the Emmys happened last night?
I did not know that. What was happening last night? Let's see. Oh, that Monday was night football. Monday Night Football. Yeah. I did some sleeping yesterday, so I had no idea. Why is the Emmys on a Monday night? Maybe that's the problem. During football
Why wasn't
season?
It on like a Sunday night? This made no sense to me.
Why on a Monday? I don't get that.
Wow. I don't either. But the big winner was Game of Thrones.
Best drama it got.
Yes.
It almost feels like it wasn't on last year to get consideration.
Let's think about this though. The previous Emmys, it didn't get any consideration because it was too long of a gap.
Right.
It didn't qualify. So I'm happy about this. I think this last season of Game of Thrones was a little underrated by some people. I went back and rewatched it recently, and I thoroughly enjoyed this past season. I figured that the final season of Game of Thrones, unless they just completely just screw it up, is going to win, basically sweep the awards whenever that happens.
Hope so. So best comedy was the Amazon original, The Marvelous Miss Maisel or Maisel. You did not see this, right?
I have not seen this as of yet. It's been getting a lot of hype, but this is a big deal. Here's an Amazon streaming show winning the Emmy.
I ended up watching it. I think I was looking for something else on Amazon at the time, and I came across it. Someone else had said, you should check it out. So I watched the first episode, and I was like, wow, that's really good. And then I ended up marathoning the whole series, and it's about a housewife who gets kind of bored of what's happening, and she decides to become a stand-up comedian in 1940s, 50s New York, if I remember correctly. It's based on a true character, if I remember correctly. And it was really, really well done. I can't remember the actress's lead name, but she was very charming, very nice in it. And I'm not surprised that it won. Best Variety Sketch Series, Saturday Night Live won.
It was a strong season for Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, yeah.
Lead actress in a drama. I have never watched The Crown, but I hear good things. Claire Foy.
She's the one that's in that new girl in a Spider-Red movie that we keep seeing trailers for.
Yep. Best actor in a drama. Much deserved Matthew Rhys for The Americans, as this was the final season of that. The Americans won for writing in a drama. Very well deserved there. Best supporting actress. Fandy Newton from Westworld. I have not watched all of Westworld season 2 yet, Kevin. So.
I have not. But I do like Peter Dinklage winning for best. I think they got it mixed up here, but he's best actor in a drama for Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Peter Dinklage could win that award every year, and I wouldn't complain about that.
I would agree with that, yes.
A lot of wins for The Assassination of Gianni Versace, The American Crime Story. Darren Criss won Best Lead Actor in a Limited Series or a Movie. Best Directing, Ryan Murphy for that.
Did you see who won Best Writing in a Limited Series or Movie? William Bridges and Charlie Brooker for Black Mirror USS Callister. That's awesome.
That's awesome and well-deserved. What an amazing episode of Black Mirror that was. The show, Netflix show Godless, with Jeff Daniels winning Best Actor and Merritt Weaver winning Best Supporting Actress in a Limited Series or Movie. Got to check that out. I've heard good things.
And here we go. Rachel Brosnahan, I think that's her name, the lead actress in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, also won Best Directing, Writing, and Supporting Actress as well. Alex Borstein did that. So that's very cool. Kind of knew. Wish they knew they were happening.
Well, I'm going through this list, Kevin. Outside of Saturday Night Live, none of these are from one of the big four networks.
This is true. Yeah.
The closest other thing would be American Crime Story, which was an FX show, which was a Fox show, but it wasn't on the Fox network. This is all FX. The Americans is FX, obviously HBO with Westworld and Game of Thrones. The Crown is a Netflix show, Marvelous Miss Maisel, Amazon streaming. Let's see here, Black Mirror, Amazon, Netflix streaming, Godless.
That's the way it's pointing.
Streamings. Bill Hader, who won for Best Actor in a Lead Comedy for the Showtime show Barry. Henry Winkler. 42 years, finally wins that Emmy.
Yay, the Fonzie wins.
So very cool for that. But yeah, just the Emmys just came up out of nowhere.
Move along. So,
yeah, move along. Nothing to see here, move along. I find this interesting. There are a lot of rumors. I haven't got 100% confirmation on this, but it looks like Bryan Singer is going to direct a remake of Red Sonja.
That intrigues me. I would like to see a retelling of that story. You?
Okay. I'd like to see a retelling of that story, but Bryan Singer has no business being anywhere near this movie. And there's a reason for this. Bryan Singer has had some questionable things talked about him when it comes to his relationships with women, particularly January Jones. Bryan Singer does not need to be anywhere near Red Sonja film for several reasons. When is the last time Bryan Singer did something we really enjoyed, Kevin?
I'd have to look at his IMDb.
Yeah. One of the concepts of Red Sonja is that she has never been with a man, and only a man who can defeat her in battle will be with her. I just don't think Bryan Singer should be directing that. That just me personally, but but I really would like somebody. I know that we almost got it made with Rose McGowan and Robert Rodriguez at one point.
Yeah, that was. I looked like that was going to happen. So I mean, I'm looking at Bryan Singer, director of X-Men, producer of Superman Returns. He's a producer of X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, no. Move along. Okay, so I got to bring this up, Kevin, because I think the movie that is going to be the main center of the holiday season put out a new trailer, and that's Mary Poppins Returns has a new trailer.
Yes, yes.
Now, before we go any further, were you a fan of the original Mary Poppins, Kevin?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. I love Emily Blunt. She's one of my favorite actresses, but I'm still not sure if I'm convinced of her in the Mary Poppins role.
I think it's good casting. I like her a lot. I think... Let me throw this right back at you. Who else would you have liked to have seen? Who'd you have preferred?
And I think that's part of the problem for me is Julie Andrews was so amazing as Mary Poppins, and it's Julie Andrews. I mean, it's like, how do you replace that in your mind with what you grew up with?
This is true.
And it's definitely not a knock on Emily Blunt because she's an amazing actress. It's just, you know, you have that in your head. I don't know how you get around that. It's like thinking Dick Van Dyke as the chimney sweep.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, and it's called Mary Poppins Returns, which I thought is interesting. So I guess it's not like a sequel, but I don't know. What do you think?
It's obviously a new story of Mary Poppins. So I'm looking forward to this. I mean, I want to check it out. So I think it's going to be a great, fun holiday movie and a very packed holiday movie season, which I know we'll talk about as it gets closer.
Yes.
But on a little bit of the sad side for me, Kevin, but I also, it's like, yep, yeah, it's time. It has been announced that How to Train Your Dragon 3 will close the franchise and end the tale of Hiccup and Toothless.
Why announce that?
I think most people had figured this out already anyway.
No. I want to see more of these. The TV show's good too. It's beautifully done. The voice cast is great. I mean, I hate when they do this. I hate when they say they paint themselves in a corner saying this is going to be the last one. It's like, why give up on this series? I don't understand that.
Well, DreamWorks makes some strange decisions at times. I mean, you're talking about one of the more popular children's characters and very popular with adults in the last 20 years in Toothless.
Yeah. I mean, the series is just so well done. It's beautiful, the way it looks and the characters. I don't understand why. I mean, when you say John Wick is going to have a final chapter, that I get because of the type of character that he is. Yeah. But this world that they've built, it just seems like they could continue. Even if it doesn't revolve around, you know, Hiccup and Toothless, if it takes on another life with some other characters, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Now, fans of the show, I'm going to apologize for what's about to happen because Kevin's about to fall asleep. Because AMC has said they have plans for 10 more seasons of The Walking Dead. Yeah, see, that's really, I mean, I don't know where they go. I mean, Andrew Lincoln is leaving the show.
What? Did you say something? Sorry. I dozed off there for a second.
The actress, Lauren Cohen, is leaving the show in season 9. They're handing it over to Norman Reedus. I get where the idea of The Walking Dead show could continue on with revolving people. That's kind of it. But I mean, you got Walking Dead, you've got Fear of the Walking Dead. A lot of people are pretty much jumping off the Walking Dead bandwagon at this point, feeling it's
slowly. It's not a bandwagon anymore, really. You know, it's just the show's dumb.
I think you're going to see good ratings for season 9 because I think there's a lot of people who invested a lot of time in the show, even if they've left it in the last couple of seasons. Knowing that Andrew Lincoln is leaving mid-season, I think you're going to see a lot of people curious how they're going to write him out, if they're actually going to kill him or if they're just going to write him out of the story so there's someday Rick could possibly return.
I'm trying to care right now.
I know. It's impossible for you.
That was a good micro nap, though, that I just took. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was a good power nap for you. Now, I'll tell you something I am very excited about is The Arrowverse has found its Lois Lane, Kevin. And love this casting. For the big crossover this year, the big announcement was they were going to introduce Batwoman, but they're also going to be bringing Lois Lane into the Arrowverse. And the casting is somebody I love. I was a big fan of the show Grimm, Kevin. And
I remember watching the first season. Then I kind of gave up on it, but it was interesting.
But the main character's girlfriend was played by the beautiful Elizabeth Tulloch. And she has been cast as Lois Lane. And Kevin, she's the first actress in a while they've cast that to me actually looks like Lois Lane.
Right.
Because, you know, I like Amy Adams. She didn't really sell me as Lois Lane. Kate Bosworth definitely didn't sell me as Lois Lane in Superman Returns. She actually looks the part. I'm just very excited about this. This is a great actress to be bringing into the Arrowverse.
So you say that she's been cast in Arrowverse. Does that mean she's going to be on an episode of Arrow or like one of the other shows like Supergirl or something like that?
She'll probably appear in all three, most of them, because she's going to be part of the crossover event between all the shows.
Okay, gotcha.
So when you say Arrowverse, you're including Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, Flash, and Supergirl. Now, with that show Black Lightning kind of on the outskirts of that.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
that's cool. That's big news.
Yeah. Another piece of interesting news is Zachary Quinto is coming back to television for a new Supernatural show on AMC, and the premise sounds quite intriguing. The show is called Nosferatu, but it's spelled N-O-S, the number 4-A-2. The series is based on Joe Hill's 2013 novel of the same name and follows Vic McQueen, a young artist who discovers she has a supernatural ability to track the seemingly immortal villain Charlie Mannix, who Zachary Quinto will play, and he's described as the seductive adversary who feeds off the souls of children, then deposits what remains of them into Christmasland, an icy, twisted Christmas village of Mannix's imagination where every day is Christmas Day and unhappiness is against the law. Mannix finds his whole world threatened when Vic discovers her dangerous gift. The interesting thing about this is it's written by Joe Hill, and if you're not aware, Joe Hill's, I believe his father is kind of famous, Kevin.
Joe Hill?
Yeah.
Is he a director?
Joe Hill is his pen name. And if I'm remembering correctly, and I'm fact-checking my things now, yes, Joe Hill's father is Stephen King.
Oh, okay. I thought he was going to be Walter Hill. That would have been more exciting. Okay, so Stephen King's son is writing some creepy stuff here. This is good.
Yeah. He's catching on. He had a very popular comic book called Lock and Key that ran for 3 or 4 years, and Netflix has picked that up for a series on Netflix. So he's getting a lot of momentum of late.
This is an interesting plot. I'm very curious. I could see Zachary doing this, though. I definitely could.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a little Siler-type villain type.
Yeah, definitely.
Back in the Heroes day.
That's cool. I'm wondering if they're going to keep the name spelled that way, because that could be detrimental to it, you know?
Yeah, it could get a little confusing, but you know what? That's going to wrap up the news, and before we go any farther, we got a little promo coming up for you that tells you all about the great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. So kick back, relax, and when we come back, we might have some reviews for you. So enjoy. Hey, Kevin. I hear you're one of the Fandom Podcast Network's co-founders.
I heard the same rumor about you too, Kyle. Like the Three Musketeers, we would be incomplete without our third member and co-founder, Norman.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's an honor to be part of the Fandom Podcast Network with you two. Kyle, why don't you start us off and let everyone know what great shows we have on the network.
Absolutely. Starting with our flagship show on the network, we have Culture Clash, your weekly fandom news show covering everything, news, reviews, and whatever crazy things we can come up with. Of course, we also have Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with Tom Caldwell, Brandon Shematula, and Chris High. Kevin, what else do we have on the network?
Kyle, we also have Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. Also, if you're a hard rock music fan, I host the Hair Metal Podcast as we rediscover the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. Norman, we're not done yet. What else have we got on the Fandom Podcast Network?
Well, Kevin, you and I co-host Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast covering all things Highlander. And I also co-host with you, Kevin, and Kyle, and other special guests, Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery, and the Orville podcast. But Kyle, last, and certainly not least, what are the other shows on the network?
Well, for all you movie fans out there, this podcast is for you. We have Couch Potato Theater, covering cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. And for you football fans, we have this show for you, The End Zone, giving you all the great mediocre fantasy football advice you can get and covering everything the NFL. And finally, you Doctor Who fans out there, we have Type 40, a Doctor Who fandom podcast. Now, Kevin, can you tell everyone how to find all these great programs on the Fandom Podcast Network?
Sure, Kyle. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at the fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. You can also find us on Facebook under Fandom Podcast Network. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram under Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPodNetwork.
Also, please search Fandom Podcast Network on tpublic.com for our store, where you can find all our shows and their logos and great t-shirts and other fun items. Also, please search Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes and leave us a review.
Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and most importantly, enjoy your fandom. Kevin?
Yes, sir.
I'm feeling a little loony.
Fart. That is the guy. Sorry, I've got a little temporary Tourette's. Apologize.
Just get back on the bus. Yeah, we've seen a few things this weekend, and one should be obvious by now, but it's once again time to
buy it, stream it, or unseat it.
And Kevin, it leads off with a movie we both saw over the weekend, The Predator. I was very surprised by this film. I had not heard real good things. The production had been a bit of a mess on this. But you know what? I had a ton of fun with this film.
When I first asked you about it, I got a different impression from that. It almost felt like you had to let it settle for a little bit.
Yeah, I did have to let it settle for a bit. And I have a few issues I have with the actual story of this film, because the story did feel a little bit up and down at times. But you know what? I had such fun with the cast and the characters in this film. I mean, without a doubt, the loonies, of course, you know, you had Keegan-Michael Key, Thomas Jane, Alfie Allen, and just that whole bunch were so much fun. And they had so much fun with this movie that I can put aside some of the storyline issues I had with this, because I just
Hold on. Let's talk about the storyline. What issues did you have?
You know, it was a couple of things. It felt like it kind of jumped around awful quick. And the other thing was, and I told you this when we talked about it right afterwards, I still had this whole feeling of, at the very end, Dad saving the universe kind of feel to it. That just kind of, and some of that, I think, again, was some of the music choices they had when they were jumping onto the Predator ship at the end and things like that. And it just kind of felt, you know, you have the kid, Dad. And, you know, so it just felt a little out of place for a Predator film. But you know what? I had so much fun with everything else that I'm willing to put that aside, because the fun I had outweighed whatever issues I had with it.
Okay. I thoroughly enjoyed this film. I thought it was a true sequel to Predator 1 and 2. I enjoyed the Predator mythology expanding in this. I love the fact that the Predators are... You learn a little bit more about their motive, at least their new motive anyway, about how they're trying to evolve by taking DNA and stuff from other, other species to make them better and stronger. I like the fact that there was a little dissension between the Predator ranks, where you get this one Predator coming to Earth and then the other one chasing it back to Earth because he was like a deserter or a traitor. And overall, I liked the direction of it. I love Shane Black. He does things I love in movies. First of all, he puts humor into the film, which is great, and he makes you care about the characters, the co-stars in this film, so that when they do die, it kind of sucks. And I got to give him credit for it, and I've said this before, he really writes children well in his books, or I'm sorry, in his movies. And I think that's a big deal because a lot of people don't do that well. And there's certain people that work well with children, like you could say Steven Spielberg does, you know?
Yeah.
I love the way that he writes children in his books. I keep saying books, sorry, movies. And I really liked what he did with this kid who is on the spectrum. He's got like Asperger's.
Yeah.
And that is, according to The Predator, is something that's good because he feels that this kid is above the average intelligence that most human is, and then becomes a target for that reason, because a kid learns how to work this technology that the Predator has. But I loved how they didn't dumb him down, and you see that a lot with Shane Black films, and I like that. You know, whether you go back to what he wrote for the Lethal Weapon films, what he did for The Good Guys, and also Iron Man 3. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I didn't have a problem with the Dad Saves the Universe thing. I thought that was great. I liked how there was kind of a father-son thing going on there. And you know, you saw this mercenary character kind of rise above to now become, you know, the force behind trying to figure out what's going on with the Predators now. I love the Predator dogs.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's get to the real truth of the matter. You want a Predator dog of your own.
Oh, man, those are so cool. I thought that was a great addition. I know their other Predator beasts were introduced in Predators, the one that starred Adrian Brody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That I consider kind of a little side Predator project. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. It's not one of those Predator films where I go back and rewatch it, you know, especially since they take the humans away and put them on the Predator planet to be hunted. I thought Olivia Munn's character was good too, where she's the scientist behind all of this, trying to figure out what they're doing. But the Loonies, the cast, it was just a great group of guys to put together. Thomas Jane, the guy with Tourette's, was funny. I was kind of getting a little bromance action there between his character and Keegan-Michael Key's character, right?
I think it was a little more than just a bromance.
Which I liked that as well. I thought that was really, really cool. I think they loved each other.
Okay, two things, Kevin. First of all, you can have your John Wick suit. I want the Predator suit in 42 long, please.
Yes, I know, right?
And finally, I've made a decision. When we end this podcast, we go out like Thomas Jane and Keegan Michael Key.
That's right. We're dying, but we're just gonna cap each other off and shoot each other at the same time.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, I people keep saying I keep hearing bad reviews. Maybe I just didn't listen to them or whatever. I went in.
It's gotten a lot of negativity. I will say that from what
I went in not even looking at reviews, just very curious. I didn't have high expectations, but I felt I was going to be entertained. And I actually enjoyed it more than I thought that I would. And it made me want to go back and watch Predator 2, because I'd watched Predator 1 about a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I went back and watched Predator 2. I will argue that Predator 2... still making up my mind on this, but I'll argue that Predator 2 in some aspects could be better than Predator 1. There's certain things that I really like about it.
I tend to agree with you. I think for me, it's a couple of things. One, it's such a different cast than the original Predator. And to see this cast of people in Predator 2.
And seeing the Predator in an urban environment.
Oh, yeah, that was great. I think that was very well done. Yeah. So I definitely would call Predator 2 for me a buy it. I really enjoyed it.
You mean the Predator, not Predator 2?
Yeah, the Predator. I call it a buy it. It was a fun movie. I got enjoyment out of it. I have no problem. It's going to be one of those movies that you can easily rewatch.
And I like the fact that there was reference to the previous films, and you had Jake Busey playing Keyes, which was the same as his father in Predator 2. So you got to assume that he's the son, right?
Yeah, exactly. So. Now, moving on, I want to talk about Iron Fist Season 2, because I finished it over the weekend, Kevin. I know we talked about the first two episodes. talk about getting a new showrunner and having the show improve vastly. And now I know you enjoyed the first season of Iron Fist. I liked it. It was probably the least of my favorite of my Marvel Netflix shows to this point. Season two, it's a new showrunner. You can see the difference in the fight sequences. Finn Jones feels a lot more comfortable in the character of Danny Rand. Colleen Wing is so much fun. And they added Misty Knight to this season.
Oh, good.
And it was an outstanding season. So much fun. I think one of the big things for me, even though they were in this show again, the Meachums were nowhere near as big a part as they were in season one. And I think
the who?
The character, the Meachums, the brother and sister that were friends with.
Oh, Danny, right. That,
the childhood friends.
Yep. Yep.
They took a more of a backseat. They were involved, but not near as much. And I think that really helped the show. This hit on so many, it's just so drastically improved. I'm waiting for if they're doing a season three with the cliffhanger they left you on at the end of the season. I'm very excited about the direction Iron Fist is headed, Kevin. If you were turned off by the first season, give this second season a chance. You're going to be much happier.
Good to know.
So now you saw a couple other movies that I didn't get a chance to see. And based kind of what we talked about, maybe I might wait for some streaming on this, but, White Boy Rick, Matthew McConaughey's new film.
Yeah, I did a little pre-birthday movie marathon, and this was part of my marathon. I was very curious about it because the trailers looked really interesting, and the fact that it was based on a true story. A story of a teenager who became an undercover informant for the FBI during the 1980s. It was ultimately arrested for drug trafficking and sentenced to life in prison. This was Matthew McConaughey stars as the father, who's kind of like this small gun runner manufacturer, I think in Detroit, if I remember correctly, during the 80s. And his son kind of follows suit and gets involved in the crime with the drugs and guns and stuff like that. But what's interesting about this story is that it's based on a true story about this kid who kind of becomes a scapegoat for what's happening here. And so he's sentenced to life for a non-violent crime at the time, which was huge. And I think he was like 17, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I believe so.
Which was really harsh. And I think they just threw the book at him to kind of make an example. But later on, and what also happened too is that there was a lot of corruption going on with the cops and other things happening there. So it wasn't the best scenario for him. And at least in the movie, the FBI is his people that he's working with aren't treated in the best light either. But apparently, about 30 years later, he was released from prison. And when you watch the end of the film for the credits, you actually hear an audio of a phone call with them talking about him. Because he left a daughter behind. He had a kid at a very young age, and he talked about reuniting with his daughter and stuff. So that was interesting. But I got to tell you, when you see the trailer for this film and a lot of the hubbub about it, I think they're trying to kind of maybe get another Oscar nod for Matthew McConaughey. And don't get me wrong, he was good in this film. I felt the movie was a little overrated, personally. It didn't capture me as hopefully I was. I was kind of hoping to get a little bit more out of it. And there are certain parts of it I just found a little boring when it comes to, you know, making a movie and showing me what I wanted to see. Interesting story, though. But to me, I would say stream it.
Yeah. I've kind of got that feeling from the trailers myself. The story seemed interesting, but it just didn't seem like a theater-going movie for me. Now, the next film I know you were actually very excited about because you're a big war film fan, and obviously we had Oscar Isaacs in this film, and that's Operation Finale.
Yeah, you want to interest me, give me a good World War II movie based on drama and spies and Nazis that are trying to that escaped. I love that type of stuff. This is based on a true story about Adolf Eichmann, who escaped Nazi Germany and fled to Argentina and lived there for about 10-15 years till finally he was captured and brought back for trial. And I remember learning about this guy, and this was kind of a big deal history-wise because this was the first time that they televised this type of trial, And then you got to see witnesses come firsthand to give their testimonial about what this guy did and the horrific things that he did to Jews and many other people that the Nazis were trying to, you know, exterminate. And so I had high hopes for this movie, and the fact that Ben Kingsley was playing Adolf Eichmann. I mean, I love Ben Kingsley, great actor. And Oscar Isaac, you know, Poe Dameron, spreading his acting ability as Peter Malkin, one of the lead guys that are trying to bring this guy back to justice. Because it's not an easy grab and take, you know, because at this time there was a lot of pro-Nazi stuff going on in the underground, so to speak, of a lot of other Germans that escaped to escaped out of Nazi Germany to South America. So I was expecting a little bit more from this film, and I got to tell you, boring, just to say it. Okay, so it's a great true story, but when you're going to translate something like this to the movies, you got to embellish it a little bit more. Maybe do something that didn't really happen or something to grab the audience. It felt like once they captured him, it wasn't like taking him back to Israel or what, you know, for trial right away. It was tricky of getting out of Argentina. So they kind of kept him captive for a while. So you get these scenes where Ben Kingsley and Oscar Isaac are getting in each other's minds and trying to break them. And it just went on too long. It was more of like, you know, let's let Ben Kingsley be Ben Kingsley because he's good at what he does. But you had to move the story along. You had to throw in a little more intrigue with the espionage and make it a little more interesting. I mean, remember the movie Shining Through with Michael Douglas and what's her name? Melanie Griffith.
Mm-hmm.
Much better film. And that kind of was a spy intrigue type thing. And there was some romance involved there. When you're going to do a true story retelling, yes, you can do it exactly like it was done, which is kind of like with the way this was felt, or you can make it a little more exciting for the movie going audience that maybe doesn't know about the story. I knew about the story, but I still have to say, if you're interested in seeing it, it's good to a certain point, but stream it. Don't buy it.
So kind of, you know, we got a couple buy it, a couple stream it. So an interesting mix this week, you know, and we're kind of going to be hitting a kind of a little bit of a dead time here, Kevin. We kind of have maybe about a month here where we don't have a lot of big things coming out, and then we're going to have this huge tidal wave of stuff come about late October, early November.
Yeah, the big one that I'm looking forward to is Bohemian Rhapsody, first weekend in November. So
yeah,
Aaron's going to be out for that. We're going to try to get a big group of people to watch that. So what's coming out before
the only thing I mean, the only thing I'm hearing a lot of hype on is this new Halloween film.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Other than that, yeah, I gotta look on the schedule and see what actually interesting is coming out.
No, I'm gonna go see that special screening of Transformers the movie here in a couple weeks. So.
Oh, that's right, on the big screen. Why do you want to put yourself through that?
Oh, come on, it's the animated version, man.
Yeah, but Optimus Prime dies, dude. That's sad.
You know how many times I've seen Optimus Prime die at this point in my life?
Oh, that's so funny. That's good.
But you know what
I would love to see on the big screen? I hope they do it one day. I would love to see Heavy Metal on the big screen.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
I'm assuming that had to play somewhere on the big screen for a limited time when it was released.
Yeah, we were going to be doing some stuff with Heavy Metal soon, I think. So
yeah.
But Kevin, do you have any final thoughts before we close out this week's show?
Final thoughts. You know, I just want to say that I really enjoying being on the Fandom Podcast Network with you, Kyle. We've done a lot of really cool stuff, and I'm excited about what's coming up with the other possibilities and other shows. And it's been a fun thing. It's nice to get feedback from people that listen to certain shows. Sometimes every now and then I'll get someone either in the 501st or something like that going, "Hey, I listened to that episode. That was really cool." Blah blah. And you know, we do this for fun, and in a way we don't really know who's listening all the time. So it's nice to hear feedback about that. And I just want to encourage listeners that, if you like what you're hearing, shoot us an email. Shoot us a, just take that little effort and let us know, because we'd love to know who's listening to us, and because we know people are listening. They're just not saying, hey, we're listening, you know? And,
I know we're very popular in the UK.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those things where, like, you know, just take an extra effort, let us know, and we'll give you a shout out here. We'd love to hear your thoughts as well. And so I just want to say thank you for listening, and keep doing so, and let us know what you think.
Yeah. For me, it's kind of an interesting thing. You know, we talked earlier about the Emmys and how we just kind of forgot about it. But I think one of the big things that I pulled out from this Emmys, and we talked about, Kevin, is the major networks are on the decline. I think,
yeah.
I look at what Fox has got planned. Fox just spent $1 billion to bring the WWE to Fox. Fox is trying to go
$1 billion to do that?
A 5-year $1 billion contract.
Wow.
Fox is trying to go all in with a lot of live television, reality television. You don't see that many network shows anymore. I think really when outside of comedies and everything. But there was another announcement this week that really kind of hit home with me too, Kevin, especially for geek culture. And I didn't put this in the news because I wanted to save this for my final thought. Netflix on Twitter snuck out something kind of sneaky. They put out a trailer for Netflix NX. Now, it's not a new service. It's built within Netflix. But NX is where they are moving all of their science fiction and fandom-related things under this banner.
Interesting.
And one of the very cool things that's in this trailer, and I did post it on the Fandom Podcast Network Facebook page, you get a brief shot of the new Dark Crystal show.
Really? Okay. I like how they're doing that. That's cool. Nerds rule.
But a lot of their original programming, they're really focusing on, like, Lost in Space. We're going to get season 2 of that soon, which I cannot wait for. But Netflix is really pushing and realizing that they are getting a lot of things in the fandom culture that has really been what their big thing is with Netflix. We also had the DC streaming service just start. And I got to tell you, if you're a fan of DC comics or especially their animated programming, at $7.99 a month, it's not a bad deal. You're not going to get any of the CW shows on that. They have a contract with Netflix. Until that contract runs out, you're not going to see those on there. But you can get the classic Superman films, all the Christopher Reeve Superman films, the classic Justice League animated series. The streaming world is just changing, and I think the streaming world is targeting fandom, and especially fans like you and me, Kevin, and all of, like, our listeners. And I think it's very interesting to see that we are dictating what the future of entertainment is going to be.
That's a good thing. I like that.
So, and with that, there's only one way to close out the show, and it will be for the last time for a while, because the season finale just happened for season 4 of Killjoys. We only have one season left, Kevin. I'm sad. But my final, for the time being, Kyle's Killjoys quote. Lucy, the artificial intelligence that runs their ship, at our current rate of speed, it's like we will be turned into a stream of subatomic particles shortly. John, could be worse. Lucy, unlikely. Theoretically, it does not get worse than dying in a black hole. Dutch, it's fun flying with you, Lucy. Just like it's fun podcasting with you, Kevin. And with that, again, this has been Culture Clash, your home for fandom news, reviews, and whatever crazy stuff we can come up with. Thank you so much for listening. We hope we'll
Thanks, hear everybody.
From you. And remember, if nothing else, enjoy your fandom.